Before we turn to our readings from Scripture this morning, let us first turn to God in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, open our hearts to receive your word of truth. Then set us free to make good use of all that you have given to us, that we may follow in the power of Christ's love. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Our New Testament lesson this morning comes to us from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 13th chapter, reading verses 8 through 14. You may follow along on page 162 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. Let's listen now for God's word. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord.
We find our Old Testament lesson today in the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. You can follow along on page 616 of the Old Testament section of our Pew Bibles. Let us indeed listen for these familiar and beloved words. For everything, there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As my voice is continuing to come back, I have a cough drop up here with me, which reminds me of a preacher at Montreat Youth Conference one year who always preached with a mint in her mouth. She would finish preaching when the mint was gone. I have this. I tend to chew these, though, so that... I did hear a story about a preacher who would always do that, and without fail, the postlude would begin right at noon, so he had that mint timed out just right. Except one day, when he continued preaching until 12:30, the congregation wondered what had happened. Finally, someone asked at the door, and he said he had grabbed a button instead of a mint from his pocket. Well, I have no buttons in my pocket today, so we are thinking about the issue of time today, not the length of sermon time. There is so much, though, that we could talk about related to the concept of time. I didn't realize until this week that it wasn't until the 17th century that clocks had minute hands. Before then, people weren't concerned about breaking time up into minutes and seconds. Surely much, though, has been gained in terms of productivity and organization by that addition. But surely also much has been lost as we have become increasingly obsessed and focused on smaller amounts of time. 16 centuries ago, St. Augustine asked the question, "What is time?" He answered that, "Provided no one asks me, I know. If I wanted to explain it to an inquirer, though," he said, "I do not know." Well, this Sunday is the perfect Sunday to reflect on the question of what is time, this complex issue. Our calendar year is rapidly sputtering towards the last month. Of course, stores have been pushing us into December for weeks on end now. Our church calendar also is coming to an end. In fact, it comes to an end today, as this is the last day of the church year. This last Sunday is called the Reign of Christ Sunday. This day reminds us that we celebrate Jesus, who, because of his death and resurrection, reigns over heaven and earth. Jesus Christ, therefore, reigns over time, above and through and beyond time, and indeed even in spite of time. What a way to end this year and to prepare to enter a new one, with a reminder that despite the struggles of the world, the fear and the terror, the destruction and the devastation, the darkness, despite all of that, Christ reigns, and Christ is the one who will have the last word, a last word of hope and peace, a last word of joy and love, a last word of light and life. What a gift to be reminded on this day, especially after this past week, after this past year. This Sunday, the reign of Christ is a gift for the church. It's a gift from our liturgical calendar. Well, the liturgical calendar brings so many gifts to our understanding of year, to our understanding of time. What is the liturgical calendar compared to the regular civic calendar? Well, our regular calendar year runs January through December. It's the amount of time that it takes the earth to revolve around the sun one time. Our liturgical calendar, which runs from the first Sunday of Advent through the Reign of Christ Sunday, that year, that calendar is one big story. It's a story about God coming in to human time. It is a story about all that God has done and is still doing within this time. We start that year with Advent as we are preparing for the birth of Christ, the entry of God into this time. And then we celebrate that entrance with the birth at Christmas. God taking on human flesh, God taking on human time. Next, we move into Epiphany and the stories of Jesus's light illuminating the world, followed by the reflective and penitential season of Lent, which concludes with Christ's death. We then joyfully celebrate God raising Jesus from the dead with the season of Easter. And after Easter, the gift of Christ's Spirit to the church at Pentecost. Then we circle through the season of ordinary time when we learn more about Jesus living in time among us. We learn more through stories like Jesus eating with sinners and healing the blind man, through stories that Jesus told himself, like the woman searching for a lost coin, like the father welcoming home the long-lost child. The hope of the liturgical year is to attune the life of the Christian to the life of Jesus the Christ. We hear these same stories over and over again as we move from one year to the next. The year, the story, encircles us with sayings and stories, with songs and with prayers, with processions and silences, with images and visions, with symbols and rituals, with feasts and fasts. Theologian Mark Seal says that through them all, the mysterious ways of God are not merely presented, but they are experienced. They're not merely perused, but they are lived through. These stories that we live through become a familiar rhythm to our lives together. Over the years, the liturgical calendar offers us recurring patterns of longing and fulfillment, of repentance and grace. They encircle us again and again, forming a familiar and a comforting rhythm. Long before the rhythm of this church calendar lived an ancient teacher of wisdom who recognized the gift of the rhythm and the seasons of life. In Hebrew, he was called Kohelet. The name in Greek is translated as Ecclesiastes. This wise person understood time differently from our civic calendars and the way our clocks help us understand time today. He wrote after the Babylonian exile, which reminded him that humans are not masters of their time or of their lives. Rather, human beings are to find ways to dance rather than resist the ever-changing rhythms of life. The teacher in this passage that we read listed 14 pairs of these moments in life that are more often than not thrust upon us and go away too soon. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. These seasons are to be embraced and learned from, remembering that God is at work. The teacher, Ecclesiastes, knew this ability to embrace and learn from the rhythms and seasons of life. He knew that this is what brings wisdom and growth. The rhythm of the liturgical year is meant to be embraced and learned from too, and it brings wisdom and growth. Through the calendar year, we physically grow older. Through the liturgical year, we spiritually grow deeper. We grow more into the person that we have been created to be, more reflective of the one about whom we learn and whom we follow, Jesus the Christ. The stories and seasons, the images and the symbols become part of us as we return to them over and over, year after year. Even though we encounter the same stories that we heard before, we encounter them differently each year because we are different. In the previous year, we have become older and maybe wiser, more experienced. Maybe we've become less certain that we have all the answers. We have made or lost friends. We've been betrayed, needed forgiveness, yearned for companionship or guidance, overcome obstacles. We bring all of our experiences with us as we hear the familiar stories once again of the Samaritan woman, of Joseph, of John the Baptist, of Judas, of the disciples in the boat during the storm, of Jesus' family fleeing in terror the country's ruler. Each year we hear these stories, our world is different. Each year when we hear these stories, we are different. The stories and the seasons open us up to new and deeper ways, and we understand Jesus a little more fully, following a little more closely, hearing his call in our lives a little more clearly. Spiritual writer Joan Chittister shared a story that a woman had told her. Fighting sleep at the wheel of a car one night, the woman said she heard her mother's voice, sharp and piercing, shouting her name. Just as the car veered to the edge of the mountain road's overhang, she jerked awake, wrenched the car away from the edge of the cliff, and saved her life. "I know my mother's voice," the woman said simply. "I know she was with me." In the Christian heart, Chittister continued, just as the voice of a mother long dead goes on ringing in the ear, a living sign of ongoing relationship and direction, even if from another dimension, so does the life of Christ go on animating the church. Through the liturgical year, the voice of Jesus calls to us, reaching across time and space, to draw our attention once again to his way of life, to his calling in our lives, to his hope for our world. As we conclude this liturgical year and turn toward the familiar and beloved season of Advent once again, let us give thanks to God for the gift of this church year, this time to walk through with Jesus through the details of his life. May we hear the stories, may we experience the symbols afresh, as we see more clearly that Jesus walks with us through all the details of our lives, this day and every moment of our lives. Thanks be to God. Let us pray.